Thank you very much, Fergus. I'm very, very pleased to be here, and I'm really delighted, and so is Peter, at the tremendous turnout today. We are very, very keen and hopeful that this is going to be quite an exciting and interesting day. What I'm going to do is to tell you a little bit about the background to the initiative, and then I will hand over to Peter, who will tell you a little bit more about things going on within it and about higher education's role more generally. Obviously, with both Fergus speaking initially and then the Minister's very, very informative talk, you've actually already aware of quite a large part of the policy context. So in a sense, this is where this initiative came from, and that's the most important aspect of it. And it goes back, it relates to some of the things the Minister was saying about how everybody now sees higher education as quite integral to the economy. Of course, if you go back 10 years or so, this wasn't actually the case, neither within higher education itself nor outside of higher education. People didn't automatically think of universities and colleges in that way. And that has changed drastically. I would say probably since the publication of the Deering Committee inquiry way back in 1997. And it actually moved on, obviously, as things developed, in particular with the way the economy changed globally. And the fact that everybody now believes that knowledge flows and the transfer of knowledge and the exchange of knowledge is really one of the most important things in supporting economic development, and that universities have a very strong role to play in that. And therefore, there is a growing desire to say, well, look, universities and colleges actually have and can access knowledge, and we really, really want to make sure we fully utilise that. They are an asset, and how can we encourage this and grow it? And of course, finally, of course, and I think again, everybody here in this room is aware of it, there's also quite a lot of investment going into higher education. Universities obviously are not public sector bodies, but their largest customer is the public sector. And government does invest a considerable amount of money in higher education, and there is a very natural desire to see a return for that investment. But when you look at higher education's role in the economy, we want to encourage it. I think people began to realise that there wasn't really a solid enough evidence base. And that was really one of the reasons behind the establishment of this initiative. Now, the initiative itself is a very, very innovative and new type of research partnership. It's very explicitly meant to be high-quality research, obviously, but with the idea that it will help to inform policy. So in a sense, there's a big jigsaw out there, and it will hopefully start putting in some of the pieces in place. There's only going to be some of them, obviously. There's many more to go on. It's a subject of interest and importance to us within higher education. I mean, it is our sector. So I think we need to know more about what we do and what happens. And outside of the sector, I think people want to say, well, it's not good enough anymore just to say, oh, higher education is important. Well, how is it important? What processes through which, you know, does it make a difference? That kind of thing. It's very challenging research, but it has to be absolutely objective, and that's what the funders have insisted on quite properly. That, you know, some things might come out that we might not be so keen on. Some things that will come out that will be very, very positive, as we'll see as we go. But one of the other very important things that I'd like to flag up is that for myself and Peter as coordinators, it's also very important that we build wider networks beyond the initiative itself. So while there are 9 projects within this initiative, which Peter will tell you a bit about, we want to be able to extend and sustain our links with all different types of researchers and institutions working in this area. It's not just this group. We want to kind of encourage broader links so that we can build and sustain this type of research in the future to make the evidence base stronger. And a part of that is, while we have some of the projects, people from some of our projects presenting today, I'm also really, really pleased. We've also got people here from Queen's and the University of Ulster presenting work that they have done for Dell. Because all of this is in the same area, and we're all filling in bits of the jigsaw. So I'm really, really pleased about that. The other thing is, we have to be able to interact with the policy community and to be able to sustain and nurture a dialogue, because otherwise universities can sometimes tend to go back in on themselves. We want to be able to be, you know, outward looking and to talk to people and say, look, what are the issues facing you? These are the things we're looking at. You've heard, as the Minister said, lots of acronyms, our initiative supporters, but I do have to thank our supporters. And again, this is another very innovative aspect of this initiative. The five partners supporting it, the four higher education funding bodies, including Dell and the three other funding councils in part of the UK, and the ESRC, the fact that it is UK-wide, but also it's looking at regions, is, I think, is very, very important. And part of this is a recognition of the point that a lot of the issues are common. Different regions might have slightly different aspects to this, but we need to actually see what commonality is there across the board as well. And can we develop sound methodologies that can be generalisable? So it's not just limited to case studies. Case studies can be excellent, and some are very good, and that sometimes you have one that actually becomes generalisable. But it's really to try and make sure we capture across the board. And very quickly, there were two stages to this initiative. The very first stage involved establishing five networks of researchers, and five substantial reports were presented. They're all available on our website, and they were identifying the gaps in the research base. After that, the current research initiative proper with the project started. It was launched last year in 2007, and it carries on until 2010. And the total amount of money invested is £3 million. And the key aim is to promote better understanding of the key economic and social impacts generated by institutions. And as I said, it runs for 3 years. And we've got another 2 years to run, and we're hoping, some of the first results are being presented today, and we're hopeful that there'll be a lot more coming out of it. I'm now just going to hand over to Peter.
Thanks, Ursula. As Ursula was saying, it's a great pleasure to be here today, and we're absolutely delighted at the turnout. As Ursula has already said, what we have here is a £3 million jointly funded set of projects. There are 9 projects involved, about 17 universities, I think, involved in the initiative, so covering all parts of the UK. It runs over 3 years. In fact, I think now it's likely to run for more than 3 years. These projects, the 9 projects, are we've grouped together, and there's basically sort of 5 themes that characterise the initiative. The first of these is regional competitiveness, and as you can see here, there are 2 projects in that. I think Rob Huggins is going to be giving a paper later on. The other team's represented as well through Jeremy, so there's going to be more on this later on in the sessions today. The second kind of broad theme is university-industry relationships, and we're going to hear from Michael Kitson in the next session about the Cambridge project. The third theme relates to students and graduates, and here we're going to be hearing from both research groups shortly. I think in the parallel sessions this afternoon, Moira Munro from Glasgow is going to be talking about her project, and Mark Cowling is going to be talking about the other one. Recognising that universities have wider impacts is very important within the initiative, and so there are 2 projects dealing with what we broadly term social impacts of universities, and I'm delighted to say both of those are going to be represented this afternoon. So Paul Benaworth and David Charles are going to be presenting, and then there's a presentation from the HEART initiative as well. On the overall project, this is one that's led by ourselves at Strathclyde. There are going to be, I think, 2 papers in the next session looking at micro-level evidence relating to individual students and to firms, looking at different aspects of the supply-side effects of universities. And in the parallel sessions this afternoon, there are going to be a further 2 papers looking at the wider system effects of higher education institutions. Now, I'm slightly embarrassed about the simplicity of this schematic here, which is intended to convey what it is that universities do and higher education institutions do. It's very straightforward, and it's been covered comprehensively by Sir Reg MP in his chat, so I'll keep it brief. If you look at the centre of the diagram here, we're looking at higher education institutions, and in the upper part of the diagram, we're looking at the impact on the regional economy. In fact, in this case, we're really focusing on the impact on the host region. On the lower part of the diagram, recognising again that higher education institutions, whilst their economic impact is very important, they do have other very significant impacts on the host region, and those are the wider regional impacts that we've described down there. So if we consider, first of all, the impacts on the host regional economy, which is the yellow bits, and the part on the left-hand side is really picking up on Sir Reg MP's point about universities are major businesses. They employ people, they employ very high-skilled people, they pay reasonably high wages. All of this has a significant impact on the host economy. Now, that kind of impact, the impact of universities as employers and exporters, I mean, attracting overseas students is a major injection of funds into the host regional economy. Those kind of influences have actually been quite extensively studied before. We are looking at them again in a systematic way, but we know, we are comfortable that we know quite a bit about that dimension of HEI's activity. We are slightly less clear, though we know quite a lot about some bits, on what economists would describe as the impacts of higher education institutions on the supply side of the economy. I mean, a major thing that universities do is produce highly skilled graduates. This constitutes a huge contribution to the economy, and that what we're trying to do as part of this project is try and quantify the scale of that impact on the host regional economy. So that's the part that relates to human capital and skills. The other major dimension of higher education institutions' impact on host regional economies is through knowledge exchange, or more narrowly, knowledge transfer. I mean, this the classic case of a spin-out company that then produces and grows and generates employment and income within the host region is a classic example. But there are other more broader and sometimes softer examples of knowledge exchange that are nonetheless important and have an impact on the host regional economy. Looking now very briefly at the lower part of the schematic here, we're looking at the wider regional impacts. I mean, higher education institutions have a significant cultural impact on the host region. And whilst some aspects of this activity may be more difficult to measure, this is not a justification for neglecting it. It should be a motivation to try to get out there and measure these effects, and that's something we're trying to do in this project as well. There are also distributional effects of higher education institutions, and they have environmental impacts as well. And so our ambition, at least, is to have something sensible to say, make progress on each of these dimensions of higher education institutions. So the attempt is to be comprehensive in our coverage of their impacts. Finally, future plans. We're currently in discussion with the funders group. I should say it's a very advanced stage of discussion. We're pretty sure that we're going ahead with extending the initiative, in particular focusing on the dissemination activities associated with the initiative. And this is going to be reflected, as has already been referred to, in a number of events that we're going to hold around the countries of the UK and various regions of the UK, and we hope as well to convert some of the more academic inputs into more user-friendly outputs that can be easily accessed by the wider policy communities and the public at large. And finally, we're planning an international conference at the end of all this to debate the findings of the initiative, and very importantly, to seek to ensure that we can achieve sustainability of the overall initiative and the networks that have been built up in this initiative. So we'll be looking and discussing ways of continuing this initiative beyond its current expected lifetime. Thanks very much for your patience. That's it.